the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Well, if you've been in Detroit for the last week, something tells me the news of Matt Stafford leaving for the LA Rams probably shook you up a little bit, too. I mean, let's be honest. We knew that he was going. Didn't really expect it. Kind of was thinking, at the end of the day, it's not going to happen. Number 9 will be in a Lions jersey next year. There just isn't anything out there right now that feasibly makes sense that we could get to work. But Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, and this new Detroit Lions front office, they found a way, and they did it. Matt Stafford traded to the LA Rams for QB Jared Goff, 2 years left on his deal. A second, I'm going to break this out. I just asked Russ this, but 2 first-round picks to be later, and then a second or third round. Russ, I just asked you, and it just goes right out the window.
I'm glad that I can fill in for Justin's shoes of the person that you just don't listen to at all.
Yeah,
I'm honored, really. Yeah. It's a third-round pick this
third year. Third round. See, I always want to say second, and it's just like that doesn't seem right. But extra third-round pick this year. Look, I mean, we're going to break this down a million different ways, so let's just start at the very beginning, Russ. At face value, who won this trade?
Well, the Lions. The Rams get the best quarterback. I don't think there's really going to be anyone that's going to be arguing that except for, I don't know, maybe Jared Goff's mom. that'd be about it. But look, Stafford at 33, soon to be 34, is still a better quarterback than Goff, and he's going to be for the next couple years. But the Lions are very clearly now entering another rebuild where is he in 3 years, right? Is he the direction they want to go? Does the team suck enough to really take advantage of this rebuild? And the answer with Stafford is no, they're probably not bad enough. Goff will sure get him there. But 2 firsts and a third on top of that to get out of Stafford's contract and to move on, that's a win. I'm not dancing in the streets, and part of that is because, well, there goes the best quarterback the Lions have ever had. But it makes for a brighter future. So I'll give it a win.
Now, what do you say to the fans, beat writers, NFL experts around the league that say, yeah, you got rid of Stafford's contract, but you just acquired the same thing coming back, another big deal that doesn't really leave a lot of room to, you know, to get rid of him over the next couple of years?
I would say, well, at least we got a draft asset for it. You had Stafford's bloated contract for Goff plus a first-round pick. And it sounds like that's the draft capital that they got increased in taking on Goff. And in 2 years, you can cut him free. Those last 2 years, the bonuses are already paid by the Rams, so they're voidable. It's essentially a team option. If he's doing good, awesome. You've got him for 2 more years, probably overpaid, but you've got him. In the meantime, it leaves you about where Stafford was, but with a first-round pick, that's what I'd say.
And see, yeah, I agree with that. That was one of my first comments about all this, was that those first-round picks are really what you're looking at. The only upside to it is, and I've said this to multiple people throughout, the only upside to it is now that seventh, and we're going to get to the way too early to predict draft here in a few minutes, but that seventh pick, a quarterback can be in play now, and guess what? He's not going to have to start week one. Whereas if we had traded Stafford for just the picks, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, whoever you want to look at, is probably having to be pushed up the timeline, whereas now you got Goff for 2 years. You're not expecting a lot out of this team, where no one's expecting Goff to come in and this to be a, you know, 10-6 win the NFC Lions team. We're expecting some bad years ahead. I think that's why we all said that's why these contracts for Campbell and Holmes were so long. That so I like it for that, because now that number 7 pick, a quarterback is in play. But I also like it because now you don't necessarily have to do that. You don't necessarily have to take a quarterback. You can start addressing that defense and knowing that you got Goff for a year. Maybe next year the draft picks will be, you know, your first-round pick be a little higher, and you'll have the Rams as the other one, that you can say, oh, well, we don't really see any quarterback we like with that number, that maybe next year, depending on who comes out, maybe we'll see our guy there. It buys you a little bit of time to be a little picky with your quarterback.
Right. Yeah, it's the upside plan gives you flexibility to the future. I think that's an underrated part of it there that you hit on, that you're not locked in at seven. Right? You don't have to take whatever quarterback falls necessarily. You have the options, and that's probably a good thing, because Brad Holmes' first-round quarterback history is not great.
Yeah. It really isn't, but and part of me that I wanted to say, I can't tell if I see that as a extra bonus, or I see it as a little bit of a maybe Brad Holmes made his first mistake of you drafted Goff. You had him for the last couple of years. You left the team to go elsewhere. One of your first moves outside of staff is you brought Goff back. So
yeah.
I can't tell if that's me saying Holmes just has an immense amount of confidence in Goff, or this is just shrewd business of, well, he's good enough to get us through the next 2 years so that, A, that backup quarterback we drafted can develop, or, two, I really do think Jared Goff is a guy we want on this team. Because the other thing is, and I don't think Goff will speak on it, and I don't think McVay will speak on it, but from what I've heard, those two had no relationship by the end of it. So it also makes me wonder, is that McVay or is that Goff, that it only took 3 years for a offensive coordinator, head coach, and at the time franchise quarterback for that relationship to dissolve? It dissolved fast. It's almost the same as with Carson Wentz and Peterson in Philadelphia. And what's crazy is those two were drafted in the same draft, so it might just be that draft class. But it's just it really makes me worried of, I understand with McVay. McVay had a fast rise to stardom in this league. Like he was known, but this guy came to LA and oh boy did he become a name. So I can understand getting a little inflated. Goff has been a decent quarterback in this league. I mean, he's not sitting there, you know, with a, you know, one touchdown to two interception ratio. He's playing decent football on a team that I would argue is primarily successful due to that defense. That offense just has to do enough to be effective, to keep them in the plus margin and let that defense do all the hard work. So he's done enough to do that. So it really worries me that McVay and Goff's relationship deteriorated that quickly. And it's a lot of questions of, is that Goff or is that McVay? And the one thing I like about Holmes bringing him in is maybe this is Holmes' way of saying, no, this was McVay. Goff is actually someone you want in your locker room.
I mean, I hope so. Goff's a guy that Holmes has been banging on the table for since draft day. So he clearly believes in him and probably values him more than any other GM did, which I hope isn't the blinders, right? Like, to your point, I hope it isn't him just going, hey, he's the second coming, and that he just thinks, hey, it was the relationship with McVay made it worse. And if that's the case, right, and we're being hopeful, we're drinking the Kool-Aid here, that's awesome. That makes this trade even better, because then he got an asset on the discount, essentially, that he thinks it's better than the market price, and went out and essentially got a first-round pick to take him on.
Yeah. Before we – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it was good.
Oh. Before we leave and go over to the Staffords, because I do want to at least talk about that, I do want to ask you – this is a very, very, very – minimal thing, but I want to ask it anyway. Any chance, because we've heard a lot of them say Goff is our quarterback, this is our guy for the year and all that, but we also heard Campbell and Holmes say we'll worry about Stafford when it's a problem or when it's something we need to discuss, but they already knew that Stafford was out the door. So I'm kind of wondering, if you're Holmes, are you sticking to the game plan of we draft our quarterback and all Goff is he's really just coming to rent a hotel for a couple weeks until we can maybe find more draft capital for him?
I mean, that's the way I'd like to do it.
Yeah, I know you would, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think Holmes is, you're going to see him week one. You're going to see him week 17 this next season. He's going to be the starter, and he's going to be the bridge. And we've got 2 years of Goff in here in Detroit, whether the weather's good or bad.
Yeah. So I'm asking you, you're not usually our GM, but you are head in the draft room. We put you as the guy that's looking in that draft room for us. If you're the Lions, is that seven? Cause I mentioned it earlier that I think it is, but I didn't really get your input on it. Is that seventh pick? Is a quarterback in play there, or do you see it more as like I said, we wait, we see, you know, we wait and see, we take the best available, whether that's receiver, defensive lineman, linebacker, whatever, offensive lineman, take as you will. And we wait and see that maybe, let's see how Goff does. He could have a great year, trade value becomes what it is, and we could maybe turn, you know, that Rams first-round pick up a little bit. We can get rid of Goff in that first-round pick to advance higher in next year's draft for a quarterback.
So that's the million-dollar question, and that's the one I think we're going to be arguing about until the draft. I think it's in play, right? It's an option, obviously, because, hey, this team is so damn bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's an option. But if I'm putting myself in Holmes' shoes, and we'll probably get into it a little more later, looking at the profile of the quarterbacks he likes, I mean, unless something crazy happens where someone falls where they shouldn't, I don't think they end up taking a quarterback. And I'm perfectly fine with focusing on defense and structure and building up some kind of a structure and offense and defense, for that matter, that gives a quarterback a chance to win. Right? If you're picking high, you're plugging that guy in. You want to be plugging him into a luxury sports car, right? Not a beat-up hoopty. And it's a beat-up hoopty in Detroit right now. There's not two ways about it. I would probably be a proponent of collecting assets, trade down from 7 if he can, right, for someone who wants to come up and get Lance. And build up that defense. Make it successful for next year. Take advantage of the trade you make. You get the most out of that trade by having Goff here for 2 years and filling that spot and building up and having him eat the sacks while he can. But that's my take.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a little early to be talking about drafting and all that, and we're, you know, I want to touch on it a little bit more because we're still months away. We're still in that.
Right.
Again, this can't even be made official until March. So like, this is a deal. We have a deal, but at the same time, it's almost like, yeah, we have a deal, but it's really pending on a lot, and we can't even, like, we're talking about it like it's a done deal, so we are assuming it is. I did want to touch on Stafford. Look, you said it. I agree. Then the numbers don't really lie, and I don't really know who you would pick over him. Maybe Bobby Lane, which was, you know, centuries before us. Stafford is the best quarterback to ever play for the Detroit Lions, at least in the modern era.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not something that you agree. It's not really something that can be debated, especially when I start naming the guys that were here before him. You know, Dante Culpepper, Dan Orlovsky, Joey Harrington, Jeff Garcia, Josh McCown, Kitna, Charlie Batch. Like, there's just Eric Kramer. There's just nobody that you go, no, I think that guy might have been a little bit better. I mean, Kitna put up amazing numbers, but that's just because all they did was throw the football. Because it's weird to say, they had an even worse run game than they do now. And our run game's basically non-existent.
Oh, it's been dead since Barry left.
It really has. And that's the thing. There's been a couple guys where it's like, ooh, did we find the next guy? It's like, no, because you could draft all the running backs you want. You don't have an offensive line, so it doesn't really matter. The guy can't make 11 people miss. Even Barry struggled to make 11 people miss. He did it sometimes. So Stafford leaves here. I got to think. In my opinion, it's got to be probably split. This has been his home for over a decade. You know, he knows what he had here, but he's moving to LA. By the way, in case you didn't know, Clayton Kershaw and him went to high school together. They grew up together. I don't know if you'd heard that or not, but that's a big deal.
Oh, I will not miss that.
No, I will not either. But I do want to say he leaves this NFC North where it was a tough division for him. You know, he had to get past Aaron Rodgers every year. Had to get past Chicago and Minnesota. I think they've got quarterback questions to answer as well. But he goes to this division now where he's got to get past Seattle with Russell Wilson, San Francisco with Jimmy G, at least for now. We don't know that Jimmy G will be there. It sounds like they're okay to shop him, but who knows? And then he's got to go against Kyler Murray and this up-tempo Arizona team. So when you look at it, I don't really feel like things got any easier for Matt Stafford. I don't think, like, everybody's like, oh, he went to LA, he's gonna win now and all that. It's like, well, no, he still has to get past these teams that the Rams couldn't get past anyway. Like, even when yes, they made it to a Super Bowl, but most years the Rams had no way of getting past Seattle, and that's a Seattle that had no interest in addressing a defense. You have to think that's gonna change this year. So, I feel like things did not get that much easier for Matt Stafford going to the Rams.
Well, I think the only thing that got easier is he actually has a functional defense on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the 2014 playoffs, that team was led by their defense for the Lions, right? This wouldn't be the first time he's had a defense. But, yeah, it's you make a good point that everyone's talking about, hell, the Rams, you know, got to be division favorites, you know, playoff noise. There's no guarantee they even make the playoffs next year. It's good for the first-round pick we got.
Yeah, and I mean, how much does that happen? That like you hear a guy get on a team, and all of a sudden, it's like, that was the piece they needed. Well, no, it wasn't the piece they needed. They upgraded that piece, but because like you said, I don't think anybody who actually knows the game of football is going to argue that Matt Stafford is a better quarterback than Goff. It's just not something you're going to argue. I think Goff, and that's the reason I'm not really getting down on Goff. I want to see what he can do if they actually put him in, because I've read multiple reports that the offense they run is going to be for Goff. They're going to find the offense they think fits him best. And basically, they're going to set him up to succeed. And I like that. But also, we know the Lions' offense. I don't know, Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, T.J. Hockenson, Jesse James, Swift, Kerryon, Adrian Peterson, just and Marvin Hall, and you know Vontez. What's his name? Quintez Cephas.
Quintez.
Thank you. Yeah, yep. I always want to say Vontez Cephas, and that didn't sound right. Quintez Cephas. So we know those pieces. But as I read this to you, I gotta feel like if you're Goff, you're kind of smiling a little bit, going, kind of an upgrade. I mean, Cam Akers was a rookie last year. You have guys like Cooper Kupp, who I'm a big fan of, but that's one guy. Robert Woods, Tyler Higbee. So he really didn't. Stafford went to a better defensive team, but if anything, he kind of downgraded the offense a little bit with what he had. Whereas Goff kind of steps into the defense is pretty bad here. It's almost non-existent, but you've got a lot of nice weapons to work with for whatever offense they build for you.
Yeah, I actually think it was an upgrade for both quarterbacks based on fit. I mean, you kind of already touched on with Goff, but yeah, he comes into place with a bunch of weapons that are a little more diverse than he had with the Rams, and they're going to focus a lot on the running backs, which suits his game perfectly. Whereas Stafford on the other side, yeah, the running games, that's going to be a downgrade, at least on the talent-wise. Maybe we'll see something different with effectiveness. But those wide receivers, just a huge bevy of them, he's going to need that one guy, right? He always has had and needs that one guy, like Golladay, Calvin Johnson was. And we'll see who emerges there. But that's an offense that wants to hand everything over to the quarterback. That's not a fit for Goff, but it could be for Stafford.
Oh, it absolutely could.
Yeah.
See, my early prediction is it's going to be Cooper Kupp. Not that that should be a surprise to anyone. He's the best receiver on the team, and he's one of the best receivers in the league. But he fits that kind of that Golden Tate, Danny Amendola role of he's still talented on the sidelines. He can still play vertically, but he's a guy that you can also have him coming back to the ball and running crosses, and that's what Stafford wants. Stafford wants that guy that, you know, if Woods isn't open and Higbee got blocked up, he wants that guy that he knows he can chuck it to and is going to go get it. And that's Cooper Kupp, same as that was Golden Tate. It appeared to be Golladay. Golladay obviously had a rough year, and it transitioned to Hockenson, which that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited to see with Goff what he can do with T.J. Hockenson, especially since I have a feeling you have a head coach who's a former tight end, and he's finally got a tight end that's got some real talent. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of really made Hockenson a focal point of this, as they should. So it'll be interesting to see. By the way, we're about 20 minutes into, or 15 minutes into the show. In case you didn't notice, Justin isn't here today.
He's just really quiet.
Yeah, he had to work. He had a little extra work, and we totally understand it. Not really. I hate him. I can't believe he gave up on us. No, totally get it. Work comes first in this situation. But I do want to ask, because I know this is a question I think Justin would have really loved to get salty on. So I'm going to ask you before we move on. The Rams and the Lions play each other next year. Going to see Goff and Stafford go head-to-head on opposite teams now. It's a pretty easy question to answer, but I know you, and I know you'll at least do a little diving and math on it. Who do you have in that little grudge match of the quarterbacks?
Ooh.
And is Clayton Kershaw in the stands?
Oh, my God. Oh, see, there's the real thing. The per 60 stats on how many times Clayton Kershaw is going to get mentioned, because you know damn well the Detroit broadcast they're not going to know what to do. Since 2009, they've been able to drop that one every single Sunday, and now suddenly they have to save it up for one game. It might come three or four times a quarter, but Lions fans won't, because that'll be a rout. the only one, really, that's going to have that motivation is going to be Goff. And I don't know that he has the talent to take over a game like he would need to. Like, even Tom Brady at his ripe age of 75 years old, I trust his hate to be able to pull him back into some kind of a talent for it to beat anyone if he has a grudge. Have I seen that with Goff? I really haven't. And I don't think they're going to put him in that position. So, no, I think emotion doesn't do enough to overcome the skill gap there. The Rams will win, but no, either way, that it's going to improve a draft pick. It either makes the Lions better or the Rams better.
Yeah.
And that's really the important part.
You almost would want to hand the Rams, you want to almost beat the Rams just for the fact that obviously you want to win, but, you know, that extra win for the Rams would give them a worse draft pick, which you want the better for the first round. Before we move on, because as you were saying that, it came to me, and there wasn't a total swap of players, but it was more that kind of feeling of, obviously Brett Favre said he was going to retire, left, ended up playing for the Jets, but then he went and played for Minnesota. And late in the season, for them to keep going and advance in the play, or to make it to the playoffs, he had to go into Lambeau, and he had to win against a team that he had spent so many years carrying on his back, almost literally, to get these victories. Is there a way that Matt Stafford, and do we know, is the game in L.A. or is it here?
I do not know. No.
Either way, it's fine. No matter what, whether he has to come to Ford Field or we have to go out to L.A., is there a way for Matt Stafford to come out of this game with his legend in Detroit still intact?
Oh, definitely.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Because it didn't get as ugly as Favre did, right? Well, that was, that got dragged out, and Rodgers was there, so the fans were trying to push him out, right? Yeah. He did the whole retired twice thing. I think that, and maybe some Wrangler commercials, money his reputation way more than actually playing against the Packers did. What do you think, though? Do you think the fans sour on him as soon as they see him on the other sideline?
See, I think what it is I think if he has to step into Ford Field, I think you're going to see the real Stafford fans cheer and be happy to see Matt back, because they know what they realize what he did for us. And I don't know I don't know where it is in the season. I think it's a middle of the season kind of game. So I think the first couple weeks, Lions fans will really get a feeling of how much Matt Stafford really did mean to this team. You know, the little things he did that no one else noticed. But I think this is it's weird to say, but I think no. I think that Stafford really can't win and keep his legend intact, because if he wins against us, fans are going to be pissed, because it's like, that's our guy. We don't want our guy beating us. We just, like, we don't want that. That's not fair. I have to bring him up once a show, and it's for me, it's when Ben Wallace went to Chicago. That's a team that we, like, is in our division. And
Yeah. You
didn't want to see him succeed, and not thankfully. I love Ben Wallace. He didn't. He struggled because that team wasn't built the same way that helped him to flourish. But Stafford, if he wins, fans won't like him for that. But also, if he loses, say they come in and the Lions they have it that day. They figure it out. They know what they're doing. And you got Holmes, you got Goff. So you got pieces of, you know, that franchise that know the ins and outs. Stafford doesn't win, the first thing you're going to hear is all those naysayers. See, I told you Stafford was not the guy for us here. So Stafford's really in a no-win situation. But I think if you're a true fan, kind of like I am, I think Stafford can come in here and he can have a great game. And I think it'll be one of those, it'll be like a closure. It'll be like, yep, this is what we knew you were capable of. Good for you. But to me, he's either going to have the fans that hate him hate on him because he couldn't get it done on another team, or he's going to have the fans hate on him because he came back here and he stepped on our throats. If we go out there and lose that game 40 to nothing, fans are going to hate him because he stepped on our throats and finished it. So it's tough. But yeah, I think it's very hard. It's a very tricky thing. But I just don't think he can get out of here, whether it's here or in L.A., with the legend of what he did for Detroit intact.
because I just found it. It'll be in L.A. Okay. That might soften it a little bit.
Make it a little easier, yeah.
Yeah. But all right, true fan, let's take it to the logical conclusion. Next year's Rams,
okay,
as a Lions fan, do you hope they win the Super Bowl or completely bottom out?
I'm going to take the political answer here. I want Stafford to this is true. I want Stafford to win a ring. I do. I want Matt Stafford to win a ring. I would be so happy. I wanted it to be here. Obviously, that's not going to happen unless something miraculous happens in the next couple years and he decides Detroit's where he wants to be again. I want Stafford to win a ring, but I don't think I could handle it if he left and year one got a ring.
Yes.
So I think what I would like to see, and this is in all honesty, I go on record with everyone that asks, Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the league. That's his division until he doesn't want it to be his division anymore. So I don't think they even have a chance to win the Super Bowl next year. I really don't. But I would love to see Stafford go and have a couple years of 10, 11 win seasons, get a couple playoff games, get that experience. And then, yeah, if a couple years from now he gets a title, you would not see me have a problem with it. I would be rooting, unless it's the Detroit, and I don't think it can be, as I say, unless it's the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl against him, which it can't be, I would be rooting for those Rams. It doesn't matter. Like, even if Tom Brady's still 50 and playing in the Super Bowl, I would probably give Stafford the route, because I would do. The guy deserves to win one. You and I watched him time in and time out. This guy gave everything he had. Like, parts of his body are still embedded in Ford Field for what he did. So, yes, I would like him to win a ring. I just don't think I could handle if in 2022, February of 2022, Matt Stafford's holding the Lombardi Trophy.
Right. It's like a breakup. And, like, deep down, you want them to be happy. But, like, not right away.
No.
Let me get happy first.
Yeah, exactly. Let us win a playoff game, and then you can win a Super Bowl. That sounds...
Exactly.
Well, I mean, what about you, though? Are you one of those people that it's going to be like I said, is it the breakup where I want you to be happy, but I need a little bit of time for me to be happy first before I can go on Facebook and see you smiling at a club with a bunch of other people.
That's definitely it. And I hope he wins. I hope he wins the Super Bowl in 2024. I hope he re-signs with the Rams and wins that year. And I hope the Rams are awful until then. I hope whatever happens, short of horrific injuries, makes them bad, so that those next two first round picks are high, right? Are good first round picks, because, hey, it's a lot easier watching the X be happy when you're well off, right? And he does deserve it. He at least deserves a playoff win. Can we please get him that?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I know I'll be happier if the Lions are winning. And as much as that might be selfish compared, dude, I don't care. One playoff win in franchise history, whatever gets you to two.
Yeah, see, I agree with you. You actually make a good point there. I like I said, I'd love him to win one, but I would also love if for the next couple of years, I wouldn't be too upset if we had the 5th and the 10th first overall pick or first round pick. I would not be upset at all if that happened, because it really, if you have two first round picks for the next 2 years and both of them are in the top 10, there's just no reason this team isn't making massive moves by 2023, 2024. There's just no reason. So I agree. And honestly, I don't think that's going to happen. I tweeted it out as soon as they announced this. I would be astonished if either of those picks are ever in the top 15 over the next couple of years. But at the same time, we both know you can get a great piece in the top 10 and then still find some real good value at the back of that first round.
Yeah.
You see guys drop every year for one reason or another, but you can still find the value. But I just don't think that this team goes from making the playoffs and competing to all of a sudden, because Matt Stafford's there, dropping to the point that they're inside the top 15. I really don't. I wish it happens. I really do. But I don't see it happening. I think we're looking at potentially having a top 10 pick on our end and 20 or higher on the other from the Rams.
What if I just dump a whole bunch of pennies in a wishing well? Will that help?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Here goes $6 in pennies.
There you go. That's what you need. We're going to move on to the real football that's being played here in a couple days. But before we do, I said it was going to be way too early. But it's fun to touch on. Like they're still working on the coaching staff. That wide receiver's position is still open, and I don't like that. I want them to hire someone.
Scary.
I know Hines Ward was mentioned. I don't know. I have not seen anything to follow that up, so I'm not placing all my chips on there. I don't think Dan Campbell will ruin his streak of former players, but who knows? But I do want to ask you, because I asked you, is that seventh pick still in play for a quarterback? But let's say it isn't. Let's say they go the other route and they say, we need to start addressing the needs we don't have. So I guess I'm asking you, if you're Holmes, you're sitting in there, this is your first draft, you know, and I'm gonna give you a fair kind of a thing. Marvin isn't here anymore. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope they can find a way to work this out, but I don't know that they can. Marvin isn't here. Kenny is franchise tagged. So that's what you got to work with, knowing, because those are the real two names that we have question marks about going into this.
So, I mean, you hit on the exact point: is wide receiver is going to decide a lot what's going on here, and if Jamari Chase does end up getting taken before. But I'm going to go under your premise that, hey, we know Galladay is going to be here for at least a year, chance for more, and chance for this coaching staff to win him over. I'd love Micah Parsons, right? I need a defensive quarterback, a defensive centerpiece, a thing that we can point to and go, that's the guy. That's my man on defense. And I think you got a real good chance there at seven. And if you're not going to do that route, trade down. Because if you're looking at a quarterback, you can probably get one that fits the mold later. And Jalen Waddle might be there later than seven. There's some edge guys that are there later in the first. Just build up. It's frustrating. And if you have Galladay at least on a franchise, then I'm comfortable going somewhere else.
Okay. I don't hate that at all. I really don't. I did want to say, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Kiper put out a mock draft. Mm-hmm. And he has us taking Pay from
Quiddy Pay.
At seven. Yeah. And I don't see, that's the problem, because Michigan was so bad last year. I just feel like there's a weird cloud over any of that. I do agree with you. I would not be too upset with Micah Parsons. I think first and foremost, that linebacker position would be nice to address. The only thing is, we've drafted a linebacker in the last couple drafts, and it's just, you don't know. You just really don't know. And it's
different
very
guy making the picks now.
Different. I know. I get that. Different guy making the picks. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to. But we also had different guys making the picks on tight ends over a couple of years. So
yeah, but now we got the guy on the other end of that deal.
That's true.
We got the guy who didn't take the tight end.
We got the guy who didn't take the tight end. So I get that. And I think a good linebacker that you can build around is fantastic. That being said, and I have to do a little bit more dig deeping on names, but I'm still that person who I would like to see you put a giant stump in the middle of that defensive line that just cannot be moved, and we'll build around it. Just that one guy who's going to go right up the middle every single time and is going to make it very hard for offensive linemen to contain, and we'll go from there, because That's the one thing we haven't had the last couple of years that we need, is a guy that's going, that no matter what, regardless, is going to be just a massive pain in the butt for the interior. That running the ball will be very on the interior will be very, very tough, is what I would like to see. But I agree with you too. If that's not there, or you feel like you're just reaching too much to get it, then I agree. Take that seventh pick, stick it on the open market, and say, who wants this? And what will he give us? And because it's home, normally I would say I want talent. I'd love to see them get talent with it. I'm more of now, because I think we have the mad scientist in the kitchen, give us draft capital. Just give us as much of it as you can, and let this guy have as many darts to throw at the board as possible. Because as we've seen me play darts, if you give me enough of them, I'll hit the bullseye eventually. It just might take a while. I want that. Give me as many darts to throw at that board as possible, because I can promise you some of them are going to be worth quite a bit.
But trade 7 for 16 draft choices. One of them will hit the board.
One of them. But see, that's the thing. Those first, that's the other thing I don't think people realize. Everybody thinks, oh, well, they're not going to do anything with those other picks. Well, no. You have 4 first-round picks in the next 2 years to play with. You can package and really build yourself something great if you're smart with it. And I think Holmes can be with that. I don't think that a first-round pick in 2023 is really going to be as enticing and hold a lot, but it's still a first-round pick. And if you package one of the Lions' first-round picks in there, it's a very enticing pick, because while, yes, we could gamble that this team will be an 8, 9, 10-win team in the next year or two, they could still be three, four, five-win teams. And to some of these teams that never get a low pick because they're so talented, they might be willing to sell high on that potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a couple teams we know in the NFL that have not seen the front side of the top 15 in a while, and they probably wouldn't mind having one of those because they have an aging quarterback, or they have a, you know, a lineman or a linebacker or a corner who they need to replace sooner rather than later, and they might not be able to do that drafting from 25, 26, 27, 28.
So speaking of then,
okay,
we've got a couple teams up there, Atlanta at 4. Miami at 3, who appear to have their quarterbacks, right?
But, you would think, yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather trade up, giving up at least a first, you know, 7 this year and a first round pick next year, or trade out of 7 down to say we've got multiple picks? We'll use the Dolphins again. At 18, you trade down to 18 and you pick up, let's say, a third round pick as well.
In that actual draft, in the 2021 draft?
Yeah, this draft.
Yeah, I think, I would rather trade down. I would. I don't, like I said, the top 5 picks in this draft, I don't think are going to change very much. I think they might change who it is. It's going to be those people. Like, Trevor Lawrence, you might as well not even have him on a draft board, because you're not going to see him. You're just not. New York, Miami, Atlanta. I think it's insane that ESPN has Atlanta taking Zach Wilson. I don't know that it's time to get past Matt Ryan. Maybe mm-hmm. in their eyes it is. Who knows? But I just don't. I would rather move down and know that you've got a little extra capital to go searching for those people. Because then that third round pick, you can say, all right, third round pick, we have it projected that these guys will be here. This is a guy we've really been keying on. And you can kind of work from that. I like that a little more. Trading up, to me, if it just feels like you're trading up to try to get something that all these guys are question marks, and I'd rather trade down and add more value, more capital. But I said in that little scenario that Kenny's here, Marvin isn't. So I have to ask you, if for some odd reason, and I don't foresee this happening, I really don't, if for some odd reason we're sitting at 7, the phone's not ringing, or it is ringing, but it's not ringing with anything that we think is worth it. It's just not. Do the Detroit Lions have to take a real, actual hard look at DeVonta Smith?
I mean, they have to look, right? Because you have to look at everybody. But no, I'm not taking him.
No. Okay.
Not that high. No. Holmes, for all of his, you know, quarterback misses so far in the draft, he's done really good. Just really good at picking up value late in the draft, especially on the perimeter positions, for lack of better terms. Guys like wide receivers, safeties, corners, right? He's done really well there.
Yeah.
So use that strength, right? Don't go use the premium capital to get something that you can't replace anywhere else. And yeah, DeVonta Smith sure seems like someone like that, but you can probably get 80, 90% of him for paying half the price. Somewhere deeper in the draft.
Okay. So in that first round, is it safe to say if the phone's ringing and it's just nothing that you feel you can part with that 7th for, you're saying you don't worry about maybe, I use air quotes here because it's never really finished, But don't worry about finishing the offense. Start building the defense is more your way of looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe that's speaking out of a place of pain. Just watch them give up the most points that the Lions have ever gave up. And that defense has been bad most of my entire life. So that it was a special kind of bad. So, yeah, I'm probably speaking from a place of pain where I just want to see that fixed. But that's where the most improvement can be made. The offense, you already punted by getting rid of Stafford. Mm-hmm. It's already not going to be as good by that. Short of Justin Fields falling to 7 and you taking him and him being everything as advertised and not another Buckeye quarterback flop, the offense is going to take a step back. So make the defense a little better. I honestly wouldn't mind. It'd be such a bold thing that I'd laugh the entire time if every single pick was on defense.
Yeah.
That would make me happy. That'd make me laugh. Hey, focus on one thing, fix that, and go get the next one because you can survive with the offense as is. You cannot survive with how this defense is.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to say, too. Like, at this point, who has the worst track record when it comes to quarterbacks right now? Ohio State in the NFL or Alabama in the NFL? Both these teams have a first-round quarterback ready to go, and it really could be a toss-up. I mean, it's interesting. But I like what you had to say there, though, about it'd be hilarious if there was nothing but defense drafted for us. But I also don't hate that because it's stocking the cabinet with as much as possible. As much. You load up your pantry. When you get hungry, there's a good chance you're going to find something in there you're in the mood for. So stocking up that pantry with as much talent as you can and just saying, look, this is what we got. Let's see what worked, what didn't work, and we learn from it. We develop from it. So I do like that. I really do. I'll go on record, though. It's not Justin Fields I want to see at 7. I would rather see Zach Wilson. And I know we'll get into that later on over the next couple weeks as we break down everything like we do. But I just, when I look at everything, I think Zach Wilson is going to be what I thought Herbert was going to be. He's going to be that guy that isn't getting passed on by any means. And if you go in the top 10 of the NFL draft, you're not getting passed on. You're not Trevor Lawrence. He had the first round pick or the first overall pick locked up the second he signed at Clemson. It just was inevitable for him. So I when I look at him, I see him like Herbert. I see that guy who you're going to have that dude who was just well advertised like Burrow's was last year. And I think Burrow's doesn't get hurt. I think him and Justin Herbert have a real battle for rookie of the year, but obviously injuries and all that. I think that's going to be Zach Wilson. I think depending on where Wilson goes, it looks to be probably somewhere in that mid top 10. I think you could see him be the guy who kind of comes out of nowhere and is like, wow, this guy might be just as good as Trevor Lawrence, if not better. So, and I think you got to expect Trevor Lawrence to have the Cincinnati problem of Jacksonville's not good. So Trevor Lawrence is going to have to carry them on top of the fact that you have a new head coach who by all accounts is a legend in football, but he's never done it at the NFL level. So it's going to be a real interest to see, can Urban Meyer tailor everything his way and make it work in an NFL? And I think he can. I'm not trying to say he can't. But as we've seen with Jim Harbaugh and you know, even Pete Carroll had struggled his first time around.
Yeah.
It's a lot different when the guys you're yelling at are making twice as much as you are, as opposed to a kid who's hoping that he's going to get his meal plan approved for the next semester. So,
well, and if history has taught us anything about Urban Meyer, he'll do good down in Florida again until things start to get hard and, you know, some controversies pop up, and then he'll probably get a job with, like, the Bengals or the Browns, right? Yeah. Recovers in Ohio.
By the way, did you see that? I saw that stat the other day that of the 120 guys on the 2008 Florida Gators team, like 41 of them have been in prison at some point.
Wild.
They're really competing with like the 80s Miami Hurricane teams for rap sheets. It's just crazy.
Don't go to Florida.
Yeah, just don't go to Florida. It's fine.
The state of.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what he can do in Jacksonville, but I've said it all year. I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be all right in the NFL. I really do. But I think he's going to fall prey to that Alabama effect where you just have so much talent around you that when it's not there, and the guy who you're throwing to on a consistent basis and the guys who are blocking for you on a consistent basis aren't all five-star, like all-Americans, that I think you're going to see how good he really is when he's got to make a play with his feet. He's got to – the pocket falls apart, and he's got to maneuver and, you know, make a throw on the run. Because while everybody thinks, oh, this guy can do that, no problem, for all their bluster, the best two I've ever seen do it are the slowest white guys on the planet, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, avoiding the pressure, finding a way to make the throw under duress. And if he can do that, he's going to be just fine in the NFL. But if he struggles with that, something tells me this game's not going to come very easy to him in NFL play. So,
yeah, well, if Peyton Manning and his boat of a forehead could figure it out, I think Trevor Lawrence has got a chance.
Hey, look, Peyton Manning also completed a pass left-handed one time because he just had no other option. So Peyton Manning can do anything he wants to on a football field right now except run an effective 40. Moving on, Super Bowl predictions. We all kind of did it last week. We'll get into a little bit more as we go. I mean, numbers really haven't changed that much. Kansas City's a 52% favorite. I still think Tampa Bay is the team. I like them. Kansas City is the defending champs, so it makes it that much harder. But listen, you don't bet against Tom Brady. It's just it's kind of become a thing. Death, taxes, and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl are just the things that you just have to live with. Spread right now is it's only 3. Tampa Bay is +3.
I'm down to 3.
Yeah, over under is 56, so they're expecting this to be a game. I guess in the weeks since we did the show, have you had a change of heart? Has something factored into you that you're thinking about making the change, or are you still staying on the side of the Bucks?
I have had exactly 3 changes of heart.
Okay, that
but you'll notice that's an odd number, so I'm still with the Chiefs winning. But man, have I waffled. Kansas City missing both of their tackles and their center not being able to practice all of this week because, oh, he was getting his hair cut when the barber's COVID test came back positive. That's a concern, right? The one thing that I mentioned last week that could derail Kansas City would be an overabundance of sacks on Patrick Mahomes and missing 3 of your starting linemen. That might fall right into that category there. That's a concern.
No, it absolutely is. I have not had any changes of heart. I've just stuck right with. I'm one of those people. I'm just going to die on the hill.
Hill is Tom Brady's shoulders.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it is. I'm not going to waffle, not going to waver. Look, I think Antonio Brown being upgraded to being able to, you know, do full practice tells me that they want him in the lineup for this. And as much as I look at that Kansas City offense, and I'm not going to lie, when I look at that Kansas City offense, I see quite a few potential, if everything keeps going the way it is, gold jackets on that team. I mean, again, mm-hmm. we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's way too early to crown Mahomes. He's got to do this for a little while, but all signs are pointing to that's there. What Travis Kelce is doing in this league tells me he's probably going to finish right up there with some of the best to ever do it. Tyreek Hill is a bullet. He's just so fast that I just don't know anybody that can handle. And, oh, by the way, it's a little underrated. They have a very, very, very good, and he's not, it's still up in the air. They have a very good left tackle on that team. The guy has been there since the beginning, and he is just absolutely solid. So there's just so many gold jackets on there that it's hard to bet against them. But at the end of the day, Evans, Godwin, Gronkowski, who, by the way, has some rings himself. You have Leonard Fournette. You have potentially Antonio Brown. Tom Brady is there. There's just a lot. Ronald Jones is on there. There's just a lot of offense on that Tampa Bay team that I just cannot seem to go past the fact that I think Tampa Bay has the offensive firepower to give Kansas City and Mahomes a real run for their money. And I'm going to take them, but I will say that 56 seems very generous. I think we're going to see it seems low to me. I think we're going to see a lot of offense in this one. We're going to get a real, like, run and gun Super Bowl. I really do think so.
Man, I hope so, because that would be entertaining. I think the running and gunning we'll see are the blitzers on the other side. And that's going to actually If I'm going the other way, I'm actually taking the under. Barely, mind you. It's coming in just a hair under. But I mentioned Casey's O-line, right? That's going to be a struggle. Tom Brady has also struggled against the blitz this year of 0.1. Estimated points above average there per play. So pretty much a replacement player when he's blitzed. Now, granted, he's kept upright a lot, and he gets to be Tom Brady a lot. Casey can get after you, and if you do, we're gonna see more drives stalling out than we're used to. And all I keep thinking about is that absolute clunker, the Patriots Rams Super Bowl a couple years back, where it was, hey, that was gonna be a high flyer, and a quarter in, you're going, what is happening?
Well, I think we all thought that because like 3 weeks prior, Kansas City and the Rams put up like 280 points, combined, just because of how. Like that had more yards of total offense in a game than the Lions have in an entire season. So it was crazy. And I agree, Brady, rushing Brady and blitzing Brady. He has gotten to that point in his life where I just don't think he wants to get hit anymore. So he's just like, he makes some pretty bad decisions and some throws. Like I said, he did everything he could to help Green Bay win that game, throwing three interceptions. I hate this, and I might edit it out because I thought I was going to be able to get through an entire Super Bowl prediction where I get to talk about Tom Brady and not. You know what? I'm just going to call them the other team he played for at some point. I expect that Tampa Bay offense to look a lot like that other team, where you're going to see them just spread everything out. And they're not going to look for the home run ball very often. They're going to look for Tom Brady to just pick it apart. Let's hold on to the ball as long as we can, but let's make sure that every one of these drives finishes with at least three. Seven would be great, but let's finish with at least three, but let's eat clock. Brady has proven that he has the ability to, if you can just give him a couple seconds, he can pick you apart. He's very accurate. He makes the right decision. And look, if for some odd reason, Evans or Godwin or Antonio Brown break free, he's not going to pass that up. But at the same time, we've seen this. He's not going to have a problem throwing the same route 12 times in a row to Rob Gronkowski if Rob Gronkowski catches it every single time. Right. It's just – so I think we're going to see a lot of that. I really do. But I think we have to see a lot of that because, as I mentioned, Kelce – is phenomenal, and Tyreek Hill is a bullet. All it takes is one play for Kansas City to put up seven. So they have to make sure that they don't get a lot of one plays to do so.
Yeah, which will be difficult because that's the entire theme of the Kansas City offense. Exactly. Is they have so many options that it's, which one would you like to be beat with?
Exactly. No, it 100% is. That is legitimately an offense that when you step up and line up against them, no matter what defense you've schemed, it could be the perfect defense. You could come up with the perfect defense. Unfortunately, it takes them one play. They can change the score of it. Like they can change the course of a game in one play, and that makes it very tough because you want to blitz, but Mahomes has proven he's very good on the run. You want to keep those receivers as covered as you can, but they've proven they find ways to get open. So it's a very tough match, and that's why I think if Tampa Bay's smart, they've got to slow this down to an almost pace of where Mahomes has to get up and start walking around because he's been sitting for so long. And I think if Tom Brady can do that, as much as I'd love this to be a gun show, and I think we're going to have to see that, I think Brady would love if this was more like a Rams-Patriots game where nice and slow, just give me the ball. All we got to do is make sure we are within 4 points of them with 2 minutes to go in the game, and we're fine. We're golden. So,
yeah. And the old Tom Brady special.
Pretty much. I know Brady doesn't want to end his playoff runs with another interception like he did against Tennessee last year. So we'll see what happens. Moving on, we do this every year. We have a lot of fun with it. I'm interested, though, because I don't think – I got to think with COVID and all that they are not going to let players dump Gatorade on a coach. It just doesn't seem – like it's a safe move to do, especially when guys have been drinking out of it all day. So I'm gonna alter it because I know we saw this with Kansas City and that might be their thing right now. What color will the Gatorade confetti thing be? Because that's what they did last week. They poured a Gatorade bucket on it, but it was confetti. So what color will the confetti be? But we do the prop bets every year. We'll go through the usual ones, Russ. Heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. I'm with you on that one. Tails never fails. Another one I think is interesting, and I know we mention it. I feel like we mention it every year just because he's in it every year. Who will we see first, Roger Goodell or Giselle?
I hope it's Giselle. I'm done seeing Roger Goodell for a lifetime.
Yeah, I'm good with it, too. I really am. And then what color will the confetti be?
I'm going to go with red because both teams are red.
It was a real safe bet.
I don't know what else I would guess because I'm used to Gatorade. I know confetti can be in any color, but I literally have a 1-point difference in this game right now. I got 28-27. So I'm going to guess red because I can't decide who's going to win either.
Okay. Oh, like Baker Mayfield, I woke up feeling dangerous. I'm going to go blue. Going to go blue. Did you have any prop bets you want to do put out there?
The national anthem. Every time. I got to bring it up.
Fair enough.
The over-under is 1 minute 59 seconds.
Over.
Over.
Okay. Who's singing the national anthem this year?
Great question. I forgot. It's two people.
I'll look. Go ahead.
It's two people, and the last time that we had a duet national anthem, it went over 2 minutes. Granted, well, I think the last three Super Bowls have all gone under, so we've had a trend where it's been under, and the average length in Super Bowls is 155, which is 4 seconds under that. But having two people, come on, they're going to try and knock a little bit out. You got to showcase each other. That's going to push it over a little bit.
It is Jasmine Sullivan and Eric Church. Eric Church is a country singer. I can speak to that. I do not know who Jasmine Sullivan is, but just knowing that Eric Church sings incredibly slow to begin with, I take the over every time because no matter what, it could be, you could sing that national anthem so fast. You could race to it and you could literally have like 30 seconds left. Everybody wants to hold that last, you know, let everybody cheer. And they're like, and the home cheer, 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 cheer of the, it's just, they want to make that a lasting thing. So they could have a minute to go. I still feel like no matter what, it's no way this is less than 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm with you. All right, one more for you.
Okay.
Because it's equally insane. The Weeknd is a halftime performer. Okay. Which song, and we got four favorites apparently, for which song he's going to perform first. Blinding Lights, Starboy, Pray For Me, or Can't Feel My Face. Especially ironic with COVID going around.
And honestly, Can't Feel My Face was going to be my prediction. I just think it just feels like one that, like, it starts out quiet enough that you can build up and then the rest of the show. That way you don't have to go from some upbeat song to slowing it down and getting it going again. So I'll say I Can't Feel My Face.
All right. I'm going to go with Starboy because it's probably the Weeknd song that I know the best.
Okay.
But I Feel It Coming really should have been up on this list. I don't know why it wasn't, but look out for that one. Because that, I mean, what's better than starting it with Feeling It Coming? It's a hype song.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great one. It'll be very interesting. I'm excited to see what they do. As we were sitting here talking about, I want to ask you, because we're gonna move on to the first ever Super Bowl prop bet, or the parlay bet that we want to do. But I want to ask you, I made a comment about and we can almost roll it into a prop bet last year about the odds of anyone being MVP in the Super Bowl other than Mahomes and Brady. And you were adamant that, nope, it's going to be one of those two. So I want to ask you, after going through this game and all that, are you still maintaining that it's going to be Mahomes or Brady standing up getting Super Bowl MVP?
Absolutely. Okay. First off, if Tampa, I mean, I think I said it last week too, if Tampa Bay wins, they're going to give it to Brady. Even if he throws for 200 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions, they're going to hand it to him just for coming to Tampa Bay and making it all happen. On Kansas City, I can't tell you who is going to be the one that Mahomes lights up the scoreboard with, but it's going to be somebody. And I know Mahomes is going to be half of it. So I'm very comfortable saying that, what, 80% if Kansas City wins, that's going to be Mahomes. 100% if Tampa Bay wins, it's going to be Brady. Going to be one of those two.
Okay.
Tiny at the margin.
Okay. So with obviously with online betting being what it is, and I'm sure all these sites are having a hell of a time collecting money right now because of all the bets, we decided we're going to do the first ever annual Armchair Sports Talk parlay bet. Now, we're going to do this two ways. I am going to go through all the options here, and we are going to let the armchair accountant, Russ Ivanek, give us how he would go about it, because you know he's going to be meticulous. He's going to be very, very number shrewd about what he does here, and we're going to see. The bet is $20. We're going to put in, we're just going to say we're putting in $20, and we're going to see what kind of return Russ would get us, and then I am going to go through and I'm going to bet on it the way I think, if you were going to have fun with this, what the return would be. And we're going to see, would one of us be able to make some money here? So Russ, we're going to lead it off, starting this prop bet, who, or this parlay bet, who will win, the Chiefs or the Buccaneers?
All right, what are the odds on either?
No, no odds. This is a straight. You gotta just pick one straight up to win this game.
Okay. Do I get the line?
I you could get one if you wanted, but there's not one here. I can only tell you it's the Chiefs or the other ones will give you spreads and lines and that. But this is this is the first. You got to take it straight up. The Chiefs or the Buccaneers.
I'm gonna stick with the Chiefs then.
Okay, so we got the Chiefs.
Play the favorite.
Okay, got the Chiefs. You don't have to take the bet. You can tell me to move on to another one, but the next one up will be who will cover the spread? Chiefs minus 3.5, Buccaneers plus 3.5.
Oh, I take the Bucs to cover the spread there.
Okay.
Now, well, actually, let me back that up. If I'm building a parlay, the idea has to be that you have one specific scenario in mind that you're sure is going to happen, and you're going to bounce everything else off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because I take the Chiefs, I'm going to take the Chiefs to cover the spread here with the idea that if I take the Bucs covering the spread, which I think is more likely, because, hey, there's a chance the Bucs win this game, I'm thwarting myself in a parlay by taking the Bucs to cover. I would have – it would for the parlay to hit, it would basically have to be the Chiefs win by less than three.
Okay. So we're going to change that over to the Chiefs.
Right.
So you know, had you taken the Bucks? Oh, I gotta put that back. I want to take that back. Oh, I don't know. Okay. It won't let me choose the Chiefs now, because taking that spread doesn't increase the line. So it's fine. Just so you know, had you taken the Bucks, it would have been plus 600 for there. Moving on, how many points in the game? Over 56.5, under 56.5?
I got the under still.
Okay, under, that's plus 260. So now you get to kind of mix and match here. Your options to choose, and we can come back to these, or you can just go as you choose. You can pick who will score a touchdown, how many player passing yards, how many player receiving yards, how many passing touchdowns, and how many rushing yards. So you get to pick the player and the yards. So let's just say, for argument's sake, how many player passing touchdowns. You can choose Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, obviously, and you can go with 2+, 3+, or 4+.
Either of them. Okay, can I take the opposite? Can I say, hey, 2+, not going to happen?
I don't believe you can just not bet on it.
Okay. That's not an option. Okay.
Yeah. So to give you a little, you like to have the numbers. Tom Brady plus or 2+ touchdowns is plus 700. Patrick Mahomes 2+ touchdowns is plus 300. So you can imagine, and actually I don't know why, they must have a lot of faith. Patrick Mahomes, if you click on him, you have more options. You can actually go all the way up to plus 5 or 5+ touchdowns, which is plus 3500.
It's a parlay, so yes. I got to have all my legs hit. I'm going to do the Mahomes plus 2 touchdowns.
Mahomes plus 2, add selection. So there we go. We're good with that. So now I'll let you go where you want to go. You can go with who will score a touchdown, how many passing yards, how many rushing yards, how many receiving yards.
Rushing yards, sir.
We're going to go with rushing yards here.
I'll take potables for 300, Trebek.
Okay. Your options are Williams, Edwards-Helaire, Fournette, Jones, Brady, Mahomes.
Give me Mahomes.
Okay, so Mahomes, just to give you some numbers, plus or 15 plus yards rushing is plus 400. You can go all the way up to 35 plus with Mahomes, which comes out to plus 875.
What are the increments in between the 15 and 35?
It's pretty much every 5. 15, 20, 25, 35. 30, all the way up to 35. Now, if you click on Williams, just so you know, I'm double checking this so you don't.
Yeah.
The highest it'll go is 75 plus, and that's for Fournette.
Okay.
And that comes out to plus 2,500.
Mahomes plus 25 rushing yards.
All right, Mahomes plus 25 rushing yards. It's a plus 575. So we're gonna put that in there for you. And so right now, if we parlay this all together, you have Patrick Mahomes rushing for 25 plus yards, passing for 2 plus touchdowns. You're taking the under at 56.5, and the spread. You're taking the Chiefs for the negative 3.5 on the spread.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna make you choose one more, and that last one is going to be, because I'll do the same with for me. Let me double check what I got to do here. Okay. Okay, so you basically, all you're doing is picking who will score a touchdown.
Okay.
Your choices are, and if I'm not mistaken, this person has to actually score it. So, like, Mahomes or Brady have to actually run it or catch it for this to count. So, obviously, there shouldn't be a lot of surprises in these names. Hill, Kelsey, Fournette, Evans, Godwin, Edwards-Helaie, Williams, and Mahomes. To give you a little bit of the spread, Hill is at the very top. At plus 825, Mahomes is at the very bottom at plus 3,500.
Give me Kelsey. Yep.
All right, so Kelsey to score a touchdown is, oh my God. Kelsey to score a touchdown, oh, that's why it's adding all them up. That's why I did that wrong. Hold on.
Okay.
it said plus 7,700, so I wanted to, but
like,
I clicked on a multiple. So I gave you the wrong numbers there. Let me fix this. So Mahomes to score a touchdown is plus 2,200.
Mm-hmm.
Hill to score a touchdown all by himself is plus 825. Kelsey to score a touchdown by himself is plus 825.
825, okay.
So we are going to add to selection. And we are going to add to bet slip. All right. So now I got to... This is so much weirder to navigate when you're actually on the computer, not on your phone. Hold on. Where'd it go? You just screw with this for a minute. Russ, you actually, I'm surprised. There was a lot more wild bets there than I fully expected. A lot more taking some risks. You have a lot of faith in Patrick Mahomes, though.
I do, and that's basically what I'm building the parlay on. I know Mahomes is really good, and I know that the offensive line's beat up, so he's going to have to rush. But occasionally, he's going to have to break out of the pocket and pick up some yards. They're going to have to focus, Tampa Bay is going to have to focus on Tyreek Hill so often that at least a couple of those rushes are going to be chunk plays, right? So 25 yards sounds about right. Two touchdowns, I'm willing to bet that they're trying to sell out to stop Mahomes passing, and that's going to be a lot of the deep stuff. Kelsey's still a red zone threat. He's a deep threat. I still think Mahomes comes through some, right? There's the two touchdowns, and Kelsey's got the most range of possibilities for touchdowns. Taking the Chiefs to win because, hey, it's the favorite. I'm trying to play it safe with a parlay because it's got six legs. and then plus three because, hey, that gives me more possibilities for the Chiefs win to play out. Because if I take the Bucks to cover the Chiefs to win, I have a very fine line of possibilities that'll help me pay out. But if I take the Chiefs, hey, they can win by four, they can win by 10, right? As long as they win by more than three. I win there.
Yeah.
It's a wide range.
Okay, so here we are. I'm going to review this just so you can tell me if I missed anything. I went through and just double-checked it, but I want to ask you. Patrick Mahomes to throw 2-plus touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes to rush for 25 or more yards. Travis Kelsey to score a touchdown. You're taking the Chiefs on minus 3.5 and the under at 56.5.
Correct.
Okay. To let everybody know, if Russ put down his bet of $20 as we chose as the predetermined number. Russ, if that hits for you, plus $185. So you get $185 on a $20 bet.
Win $185. Right. What was the final odds on that? Does it tell you for the parlay?
Plus 825.
Oh, for the whole thing?
For the whole thing, plus 825.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So that's Russ's. So now we're gonna go back and we're going to do some crazy things. We're going to let me build the parlay. I, of course, will be taking the Bucks. So I'm going to skip the plus because in order to do the plus, it just takes away who you're picking to win outright. I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over. Who will score a touchdown? Look, the guy got me money and another one, so I'm going to go with him. I'm going to take Mike Evans. Going to take Mike Evans to score a touchdown. Moving on, passing touchdowns. I'm going, because I said I think we're going to see them attack a lot, I'm going to also go with Mahomes. I'm going to go plus three. Mahomes plus three. So three plus touchdowns. Yep. So what do we gave you five last time, I believe. So we're going to find one more for me. And I am going to go, I'm going to be a little, I don't like that. Actually, I was going to take receiving yards, but I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to go with Leonard Fournette plus 65. So I'm going to add that to my selection. So to give you a little preference of how crazy I am, Russ was at plus 825 when we completed his slip. I'm at plus 1,300.
There you go.
So I have the Bucks to win the game, Fournette to rush for 65-plus yards, Mahomes to throw for 3-plus touchdowns, Mike Evans to catch a touchdown, and I have the over at 56.5 for the total. To place the standard $20 bet, I would take a payout of $280. So I would make roughly $95 more than Russ did to make that bet. So as you can see, it grows quickly, but you also have to take some big risks to get to that point that you want to.
Yeah, and to that point, if we're looking at the implied probabilities there, yours has a 7.1% chance of happening, mine a 10.8%. So for that 3.5%-ish, $95 more might be worth the risk.
No, it really, that's the fun thing about these parlays now, is it might be worth the risk. Now, is yours a safer bet? Yeah. Like Mahomes rushing for 25 yards, a couple QB scrambles, and you're there. So it is that, but it's kind of how this has become a fun little thing, because you can really take some risks and they can pay off, or you can take some risks and at the end of the day, you lose 20, but on a potential of making 280, it just makes that much more fun. But yeah, that 3%, that's where you'd get me. I would want to that little bit of risk. I get 7 and 10%. It just doesn't seem like that much, but at the end of the day, obviously it is, because it was plus. I think I was plus like 400 and something more than you were. So
yep.
It's just how it goes. That's gonna do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Yet again, I've only mentioned him once today, and I feel bad, so if he made it all the way to the end of this episode, Jay, we missed you this week, man. Lots to talk about, but you know Justin. I'm sure he'll be very active on the Twitter over the next couple days as we ramp up to the Super Bowl, having plenty of comments about what we had to say. I don't know if he probably agrees with our draft strategy, Russ, but who knows? But as always, the guy that could be here, Statman Russ Ivanak, I really appreciate you taking the time today, buddy.
Of course, it's a blast, and I'm glad we got this one in. And I'm certain Justin's draft strategy would have been trade number 7 for Tua and take him from Miami.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but Justin. But see, that's where Justin would agree with us. Justin wants all the picks so that he can do it himself. He doesn't want to like risk it by picking up an already established player. He just wants the picks. Give him all the picks. So yeah. But yeah, Justin and Tua, it's just a match made in heaven. So I think he either has to move to Miami or he's got to pray that Holmes makes a big wild move. I don't see it happening, but who knows? You never know. Maybe in a couple years we'll draft his brother, and he can have his Tagovailoa. It'll be out of Maryland, but it's fine. We'll make it work. And I'm your host, Eric Dorsch, and as always, that is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.